Now take this very seriously. The Lord said in the message tonight to take very seriously what He said. Amen?
Yes.
Very seriously. Meaning, now you may not be hearing when I'm talking to you. You may not be hearing what I'm saying, so you take seriously what I'm talking, what I'm saying. Don't doubt it. Don't question it. Take it seriously.
Right.
And He said, what I'm saying is, it is my desire to set my children free.
Yes.
It is my desire to heal. I am raising up a mighty army. We are not the whole army. We are one company of the vast army. We will recognize every other company of the army when God puts them in rank and file with us. We will say, yes, Lord, whoever He sets as the other companies. We will take the task. Now, the Lord says, if you will seek my face, as you will seek my face, I'll begin to do this. Do you know what this means? Somebody tells me what it means. Yes, we seek His face. That's what it means. Some people didn't know that. That's what it meant. It means we seek His face. It means before the service, we are seeking His presence. He did not just say, come to me and go all over your sins again that you've gone over 14,000 times and keep mulling them over in despair. He said, seek my presence. We must seek His presence before the service. We can lose a great deal. Now, we do need to come and lift up holy hands. So people do need to repent of their sins. But I submit that we cannot come into a service and take the entire prayer time where each one individually prays for himself and himself only, going over the same areas he's gone over and over before. That will not bring the power of the Spirit. You come, and if there's anything between you and God, get it taken care of quickly in prayer, lay it on the altar before the Lord, and then begin to seek for God's presence in the assembly. And when everyone is praying the same thing and seeking the same thing, for the mutual edification of the body, God will work. Now, if you have gifts of the Spirit, you do need to pray, Lord, use me tonight if it's your will. I open myself up to you tonight, and I yield to you. But you must not spend the entire time praying that God will use you. The primary thing we must be all praying for is that God will move on the whole body and edify the body and unify the body and cleanse the body and perfect the body. Now, particularly what I'm saying tonight, what I'm going to say is this. I feel that, and I've been concerned about it for a while, and perhaps you have too, and I know my wife has, and some others. We are, in many areas, as we have progressed in Community Chapel Hill, we have gained in many areas. We are in the higher heights and better positions than we've been before. No question about it. But there's one area that we're slipping in. We're slipping in to some degree. Now, I don't mean necessarily from last month. It's a continual downhill slide because it isn't. But what I mean is we are in danger of becoming structured after Community Chapel and Bible Training Center methods. Until you know ahead of time what's going to go on in the service, even though we plan nothing. Now, you don't know precisely. Nobody knows. But what I'm saying is, well, first we do this, and then we do this. The pastor will take care of the service, so he'll say when to get up and sit down or what to do, so we don't have to be anointed to do something. False. Wrong. The wrong way to have a body ministry. Wrong way to hold a church service. I've said before, God does not and will not anoint me for every part of the service. Not only will He not anoint me for every part of the service, He will not even tell me every part of the service. He'll move upon that person and upon that person and upon this person and that person. And you say, well, how do you know? It will flow beautifully when it happens. We've had it happen before many, many times. The service just flows. You know when these services, when they just flow? The time just goes by so quickly, and God just moves, and it's just been such a blessing, and nobody wants to go home, and it's so marvelous. Every service should be like that. And they should be growing in momentum, spiritual momentum. Now, there's a danger in people coming saying, well, I'm not going to be used tonight. Never am. Barbara tonight's going to give the prophecies or interpretations. That is wrong. If she will and you won't, he may use her. But then we have gaps, we have holes, we have positions where people are not interpreted. You're not really in tune. Every single person must come willing and ready to be in tune and be used of God. There must be a flow of the Spirit. Everyone has an obligation, like 50 pieces of bamboo attached to each other to carry water from the fountain to the garden. Every piece has an obligation to be hollowed out and then lined up with the other two pieces on either side. You have an obligation. If you do not understand, you say, well, what difference will it make whether I am or not? A lot of difference. Where there is not the unity, there is not the power of the Spirit. Even back in non-Spirit-filled days, Dwight L. Moody tells of a prayer meeting. They couldn't pray for sour apples, as they said. And he finally said, what's the matter, Hill? We can't pray. Well, you're moody. Can't you pray? No, I can't pray. Nobody can pray. We can't pray around here. He said, who's doing what? Who's got something against somebody? Found out two sisters had something against each other. Now, at the moment, they weren't fighting one another. That spirit was hindering.
Right.
They brought them together and had them confess their fault and faults to one another and forgive one another. And God began to come down and they began to have a prayer meeting. When there are hindering spirits, spirits of doubt, spirits of criticism, diverse spirits, rebellious spirits, spirits that are out of it, God cannot move like He wants to move. I got a note from a certain elder in the group saying to certain students, high school students, sitting in the service together, neither one of them doing anything for the Lord. That concerns me. You are a part of this body, high school student. You are a part of the body of Jesus Christ. You have an obligation to be in step with the rest. The only people that don't have an obligation to flow with the Spirit are those who are not filled with the Spirit. But they've got an obligation to get filled with the Spirit. And the only ones who have don't have an obligation to be in prayer and moving are those that are not born again. Not born again. Unbelievers that came in at the invitation to watch. God will just say, well, I won't worry about them. We won't count them as far as the move of the flow. But you that are in the body have an obligation. You can hinder the body just like any member of the body can hinder the rest of the body.
Yeah.
Part of the new direction is you realize your responsibility. I'm not bawling anybody out. God forbid. But I am laying down guidelines for our help because we have got to have a move of the Spirit. Like we have never tasted before. God is moving on and He'll use other churches. They'll spring up overnight and they'll move by power and anointing and we'll be third, second rate and then pretty soon third rate. Don't you think we have any capital monopoly or any on this particular move of God? We do not. Now, the specific thing that I'm getting at is that I want each one in this assembly to take your part, to hear what the pastor is saying. This pastor has said things to this assembly that are not being paid attention to. And that is disregarding the authority of the church. And if you disregard it, God will not count it lightly. He cannot come and bless like He wants to bless if we will not hear what he is saying. We had a testimony meeting some time ago. And I don't know if the person is here or not. But if they are, they're going to have to take the correction. If they can't take it, then that's not my fault. That's their fault. That's the way it's going to have to be. We're going to have to take correction. We've got to be big enough to take correction. If we can't take correction, we'll never get there. I asked for specific kind of testimonies limited to a certain way. A certain individual got up and gave a completely different testimony, and all kinds of people championed it. That person was in rebellion against the pastor and did not do what the pastor asked to do. That should not be clapped by the people for that and that purpose alone. I have asked for those who are in ministers in training, which is about half the assembly. And I've asked for the ministers. I've asked for the pillars. And I'm asking tonight in a more specific and clear way, in case I hadn't made it clear enough. And I'll ask your forgiveness if I haven't made it clear enough. But tonight I'm going to make it real clear. I do not want this to be a negative message. What I'm bringing is not negative. It's positive. It's upbuilding. I love you. I am proud of you. But we have got to rise as a body into the new and moving of God. And move we will, my brethren. We will have no other. We will be satisfied with no other. Amen?
Amen?
Now, the Bible says that we should excel in the gifts to the edifying of the body. We have a large body here. It's much more different with a large body than it is with a small body to have unity, to understand one another. We've got a lot of new ones. We've got visitors. It's more difficult. You're a lot of people. I can't see all 40 of you out there. And we haven't all been here for 14 years. We're new and moving and don't even understand quite what even is being said and how to interpret it sometimes because of the newness. But we've got patience. But to the best of our ability, we must heal. I want those that are pillars in the Bible college student body, those that are pillars in the music ministry, those that are pillars in the church. I want those who know what we in the oversight know. People who've got the understanding, people who've got anointed messages, people who can speak and preach and exhort and sing and testify under the anointing of the Holy Ghost. People who've got an unction in their side. They are not necessarily the best students as far as grades, but they are people who have waited upon God. Or they are people who can speak under anointing. Or they are people that have got ability to be able to bring under the Spirit of the Lord the concepts and the things that the leadership agrees with and is mature, that can move people with God. They can move the body. We cannot take our time and have the five testimonies being somebody who's new and he doesn't understand what we know. And he gets up and he's not anointed. And he just feels excited because of something that happened in the service or something. He wants to get up and say something. Somebody wanted to get up the other day and they wanted just to kind of brag on me a little bit. I didn't want him to do that. It wasn't the place for it. We didn't need that to be done. We want people who are anointed. Frank Rice got up this morning. He was anointed. He could edify. Something was happening. He knew what to say. The Spirit of the Lord was upon him. He had something in his heart. It wasn't just that he was excited because God kept him from an automobile accident this morning coming to church. It wasn't because he was excited because I preached something that was kind of interesting from the Word. It was something he could be able to bring something. We want you that have got abilities to take your place. You're holding back. You're hanging back. You're not doing your job. We want more body ministry. We want more exhortations. We want more people pouring their hearts out, pouring their souls out. But we don't want to pour it out unless you've got the Spirit of the Lord and He's unctionizing, you've got a fire burning within. We don't want people to get up and from a dry throat bring it out, but right from the Spirit of the Lord. We want the rest of you to kind of hang around for 2 or 3 years and get your feet on the ground and learn the Word of God and know and be able to, with confidence, understand what we're saying. It isn't just enough to get up and say, well, I got an unsaved a person and I'm praying for him. I know God will heal him. I know God will save the souls. We want something in depth that's going to move the body, will draw the body, something that people need. But this is not intended to put fear in everybody, and everybody say, I don't know, unless we're super anointed, I can't get up. It's not intended to slow down, but to draw out more. But it means we're going to have to be bold. It is incumbent upon God's Holy Ghost-filled people to be bold in the Spirit and take their position. They must not and cannot hang back and wonder and shake. By the same token, we can't sweep it all off the table and say, well, he said you don't have to be highly anointed, so here I go and come up here and you're not anointed at all. In early Pentecost, it was not too uncommon. There were a lot of ministers. There might be 20, 30 ministers gathered together. They never knew who was going to preach. They didn't care as long as God was preaching. And they'd get up and say, who's got the anointing, brother? And somebody would say, I believe I have, brother. He'd say, take the pulpit. And he would come up and he'd begin to preach. And after 3 or 4 or 5 minutes, it was obvious he did not have the anointing. He was in a text, he was reading, but didn't have the anointing. What he said was all right. It was okay for non-Holy Ghost meetings. It was fine preaching for just services where there wasn't non-Holy, not the power wasn't moving. But there shouldn't be any services like that. And so they come up and tap on the shoulder and say, sit down, brother, you don't have the anointing. Now, who's got the anointing? They sat preachers down in front of everybody. Preachers' prides had to be humbled along with everybody else's. Now, who's got the anointing? Now, you would imagine nobody else would get up, but they did. Say, I think I do, brother. I think I've got the anointing. I think I have it. Fine, get up here and let's prove it. If you've got it, we'll recognize it. Now, you know, you that have been here a while, you know when somebody's got the anointing. We don't care how long they go. When you're in the anointing, nobody cares how long you go. But if they're not anointed, it breaks the service. One person getting up can break the flow of the whole spirit of service. We cannot tolerate it. We can't have it. We can't have the babies teaching the seniors and the pillars of the church. We can't have them getting up because they fell a little bit. I know this one's contrary to all your charismatic practices in other churches where you go up and say anything. You just get up and share. They talk for 15, 20, 30, 40 minutes on nothing. Dry bone. I've heard lots of them. Dead as a doornail. Go on for a half hour. Would have been a lot better in 5 minutes. But we have got to learn. I'm requiring that we be fully equipped, seasoned, trained soldiers. And those that aren't ready to take the battlefield yet, stay behind. Use wooden swords in the grass until you're able to get in and use the steel. But let's rise to the full position that God has for us. Ministers, there are times when I have been in the service and I haven't felt anointed to start the service, and God isn't doing it; it isn't moving, and not a minister would stir throughout all the house. And I have thought, I wish there was a minister right now who was anointed of the Lord, who had the boldness to stand right up there and come up and begin to pour forth something that would break the service open, cause the Spirit of the Lord to come down. But I know, and I'm not blaming. I know you feel like, well, I don't know what Don wants to do. I don't know what God's given him. I know that. And I think the ministers and those in those certain positions ought to collect near the front. And you ought to just take it. Just go ahead and take it. Or if the Lord is in a moving in a special way and I look like maybe that God is going to do something, you might come over and just say, brother, do you have anything? Is God moving you in any special way? Brother Hansen does that to me every so often. Get a song to open. If there's a song in his heart, do you feel anything special? And I'll nod my head, and he'll come up. Or I'll shake my head. Or I'll nod my head, and he'll forbear. And do that. Take the liberty. The most important thing is, and if you come up, and you begin to move, and you begin to speak, and the Lord's anointing isn't there, don't go on and on with what you had planned. Yeah. Sit down. It's hard to sit down. It's hard, you know, it's easier afterwards to realize I should have sat down than it is why you're doing it. But let's learn. We will be patient, but let's learn. When God moves for healing, and you come up and you begin to pray for those for healing, you have to pray in such a way that everybody knows out there what's happening, because we have to keep the body edifying. And praying for the sick is primarily edification for that individual. But it is body edifying to some degree for a certain length of time. And you have to take the responsibility to make sure your directions are clear. You're speaking loud enough. The mic is close to your mouth and close to their mouth when they speak, and they know what they're being prayed for so they can follow it. Otherwise, they lose the edification and it drops real quickly. You have to be able to speak specifically to the area, boldly, get it taken care of, and go on your way. Everybody's responsible to be in line and not waste time in the assembly. We can't afford where somebody goes from there all the way up to here and leave the gap. They need to be popping in, keep the service moving all the time. We can't afford anything, any gaps in the service. We need to flow. Everybody, we need to move. You get up here and you begin praying for the sick and anointing begins to leave after the third person. Sit down. You're up here and they're not, miracle ministries are not being performed. Sit down. If people can't tell they're being healed, then pray for them after the services. You that are sick, don't storm the platform because you want to be healed when you're not the person called for. You that are have a word of knowledge, be absolutely specific. Don't just say, well, you got problems in the right elbow, and you got something in the left, and then this. And the question is, does the one person have all three? Is that what you're saying? The one person has all three things? Or are you saying that there's a person who's got one and somebody else may have one or more of the others? If you are saying he has all three, make it clear. Say, somebody has a problem in the right arm, and a stomach problem, and the left elbow. And that means nobody comes unless you got all three. And so you don't have 25 people uphill, and I got a problem in the right elbow. Well, I got a problem in the stomach. Well, I got a problem. That isn't who God was calling. He was calling somebody who had a problem in the right elbow, the left knee, and the stomach. And that everybody coming up has slowed down, has frustrated the minister of healing. It's frustrating. You know there's somebody out there God is picking specifically. God chose that person and God wants to move. And 30 people come up that do not have the exact symptom. And it takes all the time with them and is preempting and is taking authority over the Holy Spirit. Because then we can't move on to the next one the Holy Ghost wants, and we're doing the choosing because we want to get healed. We have to forbear. We have to be careful. We have to be specific. I'm saying we've got to be more efficient. We've got to exercise the gifts for the edification of the body to the fullest extent. God helping us, this will be a beginning of a new day to walk with a greater understanding of God. We have to come prayed up, expecting God to reveal to us. Another thing, I believe, and God spoke to us in the last couple of services, He wants to give a lot more gifts.
Amen.
A lot more gifts. And I think that we're going to be praying for people who and laying hands upon them. But God has given you a lot of gifts without the laying on of hands.
Right.
You don't have to have the laying on of hands necessarily to receive a gift. God will impart some that way. You should be praying, say, Lord, You know the best gift. You know, Lord, if You want to use me, I want to be used of You. I want some gift. Every gift cannot be used continually in this assembly. But God is training you for other assemblies. We're going to be sending people out into assemblies, starting satellite churches all over the nation. We will do it. And just because we said we will, and we haven't done it much, doesn't mean we won't. We will. And we're building closer to it, and closer to it, and closer to it. And come the day the Spirit of the Lord say, go and open the doors, brother, all of a sudden we're going to say, okay, we'll need 50 this month. So, we were griping because 7 of us couldn't go out. Now we need 50. We don't have them. Brother, be ready. When God breaks this thing open, we may ask for an army. Be ready. Step in and say, brother, I'm all studied up. We've had cases we've said we need somebody to deliver these classes. People have come to me and said, I've never taught in the Bible college. They've never taught particularly, but they were good students. And they said, brother, I'm ready to go. I have a notebook all worked up on this subject, all worked up on this subject, and this subject. It wasn't a notebook of notes in class. It was a notebook after having these classes, and I'm an A student. I have gone through it and prepared a teaching notebook. I am ready to teach this subject, and this subject. You just tell me when and where and point me, and I'm ready to go. And we said, good, you take that. And they were ready right there. They had a vision. They were prepared. They were ready to go. And God wants you to be ready to go.
Amen.
Ready to go. I never expected the pastor. And I knew God had given me a teaching ministry, and I was teaching. I never expected the pastor. I had no idea why I was doing it. But I was girded of God. I studied manuscripts. I studied Greek texts and critical apparatuses. I studied church history. I studied hermeneutics. I studied all kinds of various subjects and had things put together. And all of a sudden, I was on vacation, and this church was a month and a half from completion, and the Lord spoke to me and said, start a Bible college this fall. Month and a half. I had to get the whole curriculum in shape. If I hadn't spent the last 15 years preparing all kinds of manuscript studies, I was teaching them at lunch hour Bible studies and everything else to Sunday school teachers and different ones and different denominations. I was all packed up, ready to go, and I could set a whole curriculum in motion. And a month and a half, we had a Bible college going, and we hadn't even got the building quite done yet, had nothing prepared, didn't even know we were going to do it yet, and we were on our way.
Amen.
Be on your way. Be equipped. Be ready. Be ready to say, brother, I know the things of the Spirit. I've got all these areas. I understand these. I'm ready. I've already gone through. I have taught in my mind all kinds of classes, got them all laid out, and I am ready to go, brother. I know the things of the Spirit. I can go this and this and this and this. We need trained people ready to go. Can you catch the challenge? In the service. In the service, we need people who can step out, who can move out, who've got unction, power. Don't hang back, hang back, hang back. Move out with boldness. I'm going to be forced. I'm going to be forced. When people step out and begin to do something, just to say, brother, would you cut it short, please? You don't have the anointing. I'll try to leave the last phrase off. You can guess that part. I'll say, brother, will you leave it? Will you cut it short, please? That means get down, because you haven't really got it. You're not moving with it. We have to, might say, we might have to get some other directions. Might have to come up and say, with a four of you on the seat, please take your seats, and somebody else come up. Without any explanation. Don't have time to explain. Just understand that we've had people line up along there, and I knew not one of them had the anointing. I knew none of them could deliver what needed to be done. And I knew that the next 20 minutes, just before the Word of God would be brought forth, was going to be prefaced with people that did not have the anointing, the wisdom, the Word of God, the ability to bring it forth. And it's not easy to go up and tell them all to sit down. It's not easy for me, because it's not easy for them. The easier it is for them, the easier it is for me. The easier you can take it, the more I can take it. We have got to move this way. We have got to get in position, and get in, we will. I believe the God is speaking to us. Last Sunday night, and well, before I get into that, so what I'm saying specifically, the new direction that I'm giving, so nobody will, and all these things are included, but the basic thing I am saying is, I do not want a structured service any longer. Now, our services have not been really structured, because they've been all kinds of ways. We haven't known what we're going to do. But they've been somewhat structured. In other words, you have not felt free to come up at the beginning of a service, go to the piano maybe, and just start playing. Well, I don't know what's going to happen. I don't know what Don's going to do. Don isn't running this show. The Holy Ghost is. Now, I do. It is under my control, this assembly, to critique it according to the Holy Spirit. But I want what the Holy Ghost wants. See, what I do a lot of times is get up because you won't do anything. Because the Holy Ghost either isn't coming on you, or you won't yield, or you won't get in shape, or whatever. So I have to do something. We can't have a great big hole in the service. Now, for those that are visitors, you may misunderstand. Because we've had marvelous services. And in fact, all people have gone all over the whole countryside. People come in and say, I've never seen God blessed like in this assembly. So you might say, boy, they sure have dead, lousy services here. That's not true entirely. It is true, maybe, in line with most churches. God's moved more in this church than I have seen in any church that I have ever been in all my life over the long haul. And I have been in Pentecost all my life. And I've seen God do a lot of moving. But we are a long ways from what we should be. Amen. So that's no excuse. We don't pattern ourselves or judge ourselves after anybody else or past. We are headed for a future where we've never been and no other church has ever been. And I've got high goals and high ideals, because God's goal is way uphill, and we must climb higher. What I want in this assembly, this is a house of prayer. Oh, you read, when you come in those portals, big letters, burning wood, this is a house of prayer. Walk in here reverently. Take your position. That does not mean you can't greet somebody in the hall and do that. That's fine. You can do that and show them your love, and we need the fellowship. But quickly find your place and begin to pray that the power of God will begin to come down. When the service starts, just begin to pray. Don't say, well, we got 2 minutes till the service starts. We may start early, we may start late. Amen. We may not know when it started. The point is, pray until somebody is anointed and that person begin to move. But it's going to take boldness of the Holy Spirit on your part. And we do want to begin about the hour, because people, we have announced an hour, people come in the cars, they line up, they do wait. So we don't want to start any old time. We don't want to go on and on past. We do want to keep pretty much to the hour, but we don't want to be legalists. And we want the person to pray until everybody pray until we've got the mind of the Spirit, and then somebody should come up here and begin to sing in the Spirit. Or somebody should come into the piano, begin to play and sing in the Spirit. Not just doing something that you practice at home and kind of excited about getting to the people, but something that you feel anointed to do in that particular time. If you make mistakes, we'll correct it. Some of we may correct to you privately. Everybody won't know that we corrected it. But some are going to have to do more and more public correcting, or they won't know and ever learn, because they think that's the way it should have gone, because the pastor didn't say anything. If our prophecies and interpretations are not of the Lord, I'm going to have to more and more wax bold and say so. Otherwise, people will say, well, that was a false prophecy. It was my spirit, and the pastor didn't even know it. Didn't say a word. And then it implicates me and as being a spiritual dummy. And so I'm going to have to be a little faster. Can you take it?
Amen.
If you can take it, raise your hand.
Amen.
Okay. Now, what I'm saying is, I don't want you to say, decide who is going to give an interpretation, who's going to speak, who's going to open the service, or anything else. I do want, in the Sunday morning hour, and I do want at about noon to come on. I do not want to get so everybody's worn out before I start my preaching. I do not want to do that. I want you to watch the clock. Some of you haven't watched the clock. That matter of fact. But that is something that we do have to watch, because about that time I want to come on with a word where people are still fresh enough to get a hold of it. And you only can sit for so many hours, I realize that. So I believe that as we begin to get our minds unstructured, we don't want to develop a particular pattern of community chapel. We want a Holy Spirit anointed service that can be any way the Holy Ghost wants it. And we want to just come and play until God begins to move. And certain people should slip up and just begin to play, just begin to sing, just begin whatever. And another area is music, singing in the Spirit. We have a long ways to go. There are many, many churches far ahead of us in that area. We have slipped from where we used to be. The area, the most important thing to realize about this is when you come and begin to sing in the Spirit, there are a lot of people, see, there can be about, say, 80% of the people can be going loud, but they're not really in the Spirit. They're just trying to get there. They're on the way. And it's a high volume, and it's too high. But when somebody begins to feel the Spirit, they're too timid. And the volume worries them, because they know they can't go over that volume, so they stay down low. They're too timid. When the Spirit of the Lord comes upon you, and you know it for singing in the Spirit, you should come up to that microphone, and that person in that sound booth, he should move that gauge up to give it all the power so it overpowers everybody else. Then as they drop, he should drop it back down again so it doesn't blow your drums off. And that person and everybody else should immediately come down and quit. But and some of the time a person who's anointed is going about 20% volume. We need you to move right into 100% and go right with it. You can't just partly give a message. You got to give it, see? When you got it, give it. Move right into it with power. And then the volume should drop down. Everybody should be singing at a lower level until somebody begins to break forth and everybody should quit. And that one should minister to the body. I wish we had, and asking for, more yielding to ministering in the Spirit and singing in the body again. Now, quickly, last Sunday night, the Lord spoke and He said that His power was here to do miracles. He wanted to heal, and that as we would, I can't remember exactly, but as we would yield unto Him, He would do that which would be a forerunner for years of the days ahead. Now, it was a difficult service last Sunday night. We've had many healing services that went smooth with power, anointed that with great freedom. There are some people questioning the interpretation because of it. You may do that if you wish, but I don't. I am sure that God spoke. But you see, no prophecy of God is unqualified. The Lord prophesied that He would destroy Nineveh. And He told Jonah to go out and prophesy to the city, saying, "Behold, in 40 days I will destroy this city." And in 40 days God never destroyed the city. And God was not a liar. Everyone is conditional. He meant, in the present condition, in the state of your hearts, I will do that. See, but He didn't say that. He did not want to say that. He wanted to just tell them, "I'm going to destroy it." And then when they repented, God repented from destroying the city, to use those words, and He did not do it, and He knew all the time He would not do it. When God gives promises to His people, they're conditional. He says, "My power is here to heal, His power is here to heal." But if there is people crosswise to one another, the ministers are crosswise to one another, if there's unbelief, if there's cantankerousness, if there's contention, if the people won't yield, if we don't do things right, He may hold back.
Amen.
If we may have to break through. They were all, what happened? I do not know for sure what happened. Between my wife and I and about a half a dozen other people that sent things in and talked about it, we have about a dozen different theories. There's all kinds of things. There's all kinds of factors that could be there. It doesn't pay to get specific and say, this is it, because you thought of something. We do not know all the reasons. But we know there are certain things we must do. The fault may have been partly mine. And I have repented for the Lord for what might have been my fault. And for not being sensitive in certain areas. For maybe not sitting down when I wasn't heavily anointed enough. Not letting other people take it and various things. I have done my part. And I am determined not to let that happen again. And I do not know that was the reason. You don't always know. You're doing the best that you can at the moment. And but we must learn from it. And we need everyone to be in the right position. And God and the devil was fighting us. Maybe we should have recognized it sooner and started, stopped, and taken the authority and got over that thing before we break through. But from this day and on, we must come with the right attitude, with all humility, not saying, my ministry, do I get a chance, and so forth. There must be nothing of that among God's ministers. It doesn't make any difference if your idea is, I've got a minister. Do I get a minister? Do I get a chance? This and that. You are wrong, dead wrong, wrong, wrong. The idea is that God will have His way, and the people will get healed, and what is done will honor the Lord Jesus Christ. One more thing. I gave a prophecy, I believe it was Friday before last. It confused some people because it didn't start in the normal way a prophecy started. It came right out of me talking to you, and it went right in from the woods changed and ended up into a prophecy. Many people didn't even know if it was a prophecy. They weren't sure what happened. I never had that happen to me before, but I know exactly what happened. I am absolutely and totally, absolutely sure it was a prophecy from God. It came with anointing, power, clear cut. I was relaxed. And it just came as easy from the Lord as can be. But I'll tell you what happened. What happened was, and the reason the transition was there the way it was, and didn't have the abrupt start as normal, because normally a person is talking from his own level, not doing anything, and then he starts up and he starts in. I was already speaking to you the words of the Lord. I was already in a place above the anointed position, so to speak. Anointed in a position where I was speaking to you God's heart. And as I was speaking to you God's heart, He began to talk in the first person, and it shifted right over. And it came right through. Now, a lot of you don't realize this, but there are a number of times that I am speaking God's heart. I am speaking exactly what God is, His heart. And some people say, well, that's smart old Barnett up there. No, it isn't. It's just a pipe up there, an unworthy pipe. And God is speaking through it. And God is speaking His heart because He loves you. And He's only using me like He used Caiaphas, the high priest, who was a wicked high priest. I hope I'm not a wicked pastor. But he was a wicked high priest, and he used him because he was high priest that year, the Bible says. He uses me because I'm pastor. And he puts me in that position because he's talking to his own people. And so that's what happened that night to eliminate that confusion. A number of people were confused about it. I do want you to learn. This is a training center. And I believe in training, correcting, building, teaching, showing how. And through all of this, we'll gain higher and higher, and we'll have the perspectives, and eventually we'll get there. We've got to stick together. We've got to put our hearts in it. We cannot be weary and well-doing. There have been people that begin to get weary and well-doing and begin to not want to sacrifice anymore. You get a people that decide not to sacrifice anymore, and the Lord will have to back off. We must not. I know you have rights to have chairs instead of sitting on apple boxes. I know you have rights. Some of you have sacrificed money so long. You have given up your vacations and some Christmas time and Easter time. You've given up and you've ministered and doing all. You never have a chance to rest. I know that. God bless you over and over and over and over and over again. And I am not requiring that you do that. But, and you do have a right to have things. But we must never get to a place where we shift our heart and lose the spirit of sacrifice and the spirit of souls. If we do, we'll begin to go downhill. We must keep a spirit for souls and for the Lord Jesus Christ.